soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and Let the Bible Speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you this afternoon and hope that the things that we say, the things that we share with you from God's Word, will be a help to you as you continue your walk as a Bible student. Again, this is a live call-in radio broadcast. If you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Our intent always is to give you the answer out of God's Word. You may recall a passage there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, where the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we've been on the broadcast, or been on the air for some time now, and hopefully those of you who've been listening week after week, we do appreciate that, but hopefully you are taking the things that you hear from God's Word to heart, and that those things are motivating you. You're allowing God's Word to mold you, to make you into His image, that you're allowing His Word to cause you to obey His will. We want to talk about that this afternoon a little bit, this idea, am I a hearer of God's Word, or am I a hearer and a doer of God's Word? Because there is a sense in which we can be hearers or listeners. Maybe you tune into the broadcast week after week, and you think to yourself, oh, well, that's nice. Or are you tuning in with a heart that says, I am seeking God's truth, and when I hear God's truth, you will allow it to change you, to allow it to change your life, to allow it to change your practices? Are you listening with the intent of, I want to know what God says so I can do it? Or maybe you're listening with a different heart. The example we find in the book of Exodus, the fifth chapter, is Moses, as Moses and Aaron is going to Pharaoh, and they are proclaiming the word of God to Pharaoh. Notice the Pharaoh's response. In Exodus chapter 5, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And so Pharaoh's response to the voice of the Lord, or the words of the Lord, is, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? If you are truly seeking after God, if you have a respect for his word, when he speaks, you will do.
We are so glad that you have tuned in today to listen to us and to be able to listen to God's word, most of all. Not because that we are something, but because God's word is everything. We must look there for the answers. And thus, the reason for this program is to let the Bible speak. This is a live broadcast, and the lines now are available. So go ahead and call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. 308-9564 is the number, and the lines are now available, and you can call in your question. This is a live broadcast. And we're glad that you've tuned in today, but we do want you to be aware of something. Some new information, and that is that this broadcast is expanding. Next week, Lord willing, we are going to begin our program at 1:30, and we'll be able to go until 3 o'clock, so an hour and a half on the air. And so next week, be sure to tune in 30 minutes early, and we'll be glad to take your question from the very beginning, and we'll be glad to look into God's Word. And so the program is going to expand to an hour and a half starting next week, at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, so make certain that you tune in and be able to join us as we look to God's Word for all the questions that are on your heart. And this is the live broadcast right now. The lines are available, so go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564 is the number, and we'll be glad to look into God's Word and seek the answers from there. When all is said and done, and this earth is no more, and time has ended, then we all will be standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the final judge. And that judgment will be based upon thus says the Lord, God's word. It will not be the word of Ricky and Nick. It will not be the word of any preacher or pastor or any parent or even any inner voice that we may have that we're going to be judged by one day. It will be, thus says the Lord, according to God's word, and he will have the final judgment whether we are going to be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you who practice iniquity or sin. And thus we need to look and find what God wants. Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if we don't know what his commandments are, how can we keep them? 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. And so if you feel burdened, if you feel that you've been over-pressured in this life, or maybe your church is causing you to feel in a suppressed or oppressed way, please know that God's word will not do that. His word is not burdensome. We can look and follow it. If we are a looker and not a follower, then it will profit us nothing. One of the verses of Scripture is James chapter 4 and verse 17, which says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we need to make certain that we're doing that which is good, and only God can tell us what is good and right and proper. And thus we let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Now we do have one line available right now, so go ahead and call in your question, and don't wait to the end of the broadcast where they tend to pile up. The number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will take your question. You can either go live on the air, or it can be written down and brought into us. Either way, the choice is yours. So 308-9564 is the number, and we will let the Bible speak.
Today we've been talking about this idea of being a doer of the Word. Again, it will do us no good at all if all we do is listen to what he says and not do what he says. It will do us no good if all we do is listen and believe and not do what he says. The Bible teaches us to be doers of the word. In the book of James, we just mentioned James chapter 4, but in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so the Bible tells us that you have to be a doer of the word. And if I'm just a hearer only, God says I'm deceiving myself. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And so when I am just a hearer of the word and not a doer, I'm like a person who looks at an image in a mirror. Once I see that image, I walk away and I forget the very thing that I saw. Now, how would you describe a person like that? A person who looks in the mirror, sees himself, walks away and forget what he saw. What kind of terminology or what kind of words would you use to describe a person like that? You see, probably nothing good. And so I have to be more than just a hearer. But more than just a hearer, I have to be more than just a believer. The Bible shows us in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And so I have to do more than just being a believer of the word. Truly, if I'm a true believer, I'm going to be a doer. I'm going to put it to action. To join us right now, you can. The number to call is 308-9564. 308-9564.
We do have the lines available right now, and you can call in your question, 308-9564. We have a question from last week that brings out concerning pastors or bishops, those that oversee a flock. I'm going to assume that that the caller knows that pastors and bishops are the same, entirely the same. Elders, pastors, bishops, shepherds, overseers, and presbyters are all referring to the same group of individuals. And in the question has to do with they've got a second wife. And so 1 Timothy chapter 3 begins out. It says in chapter 3 and verse 2, the bishop must be blameless and the husband of one wife. And the question is, if the wife is not dead, the first wife not dead, are they qualified? Well, when the Bible says the husband of one wife, that's exactly what God means. And so we have to just let the Bible speak on that. It doesn't mean that the first wife or the second wife, the third wife, or once removed or any of those terms that we may use, whether gracious or ungracious, we cannot we understand what the Bible says there when it says the husband of one wife. That also, by the way, eliminates all females from being pastors or overseers as well, because there's no such thing as a woman husband. And that's just obviously an error. And so we've got to look to see what the Bible has to say. And the Bible does say, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the husband of one wife. And so I hope that helps from that question from last week. And again, you can go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJ&I. And you can call in the question. We've got a couple here, but we'll go ahead and the lines are now available. You can go ahead and call in your question.
Pearl calls this question in. She says, what do the Rastafarians believe? Well, Pearl, good. Thanks for calling in, but I'm not sure what they believe without doing a little more research. But it is your second question that I am able to answer. You said, why do they smoke marijuana? Okay, well, we do know that there are some people that smoke marijuana. So I'm not sure it's isolated to Rastafarians or that all Rastafarians do that. Don't want to levy something on a group of people, and I'm not sure. But I will say that, can we answer the question, is smoking marijuana, is that okay in God's eyesight? Maybe that might be a better question for us to consider. And when we go to the Bible, again, 2 Peter chapter 1, what we'll find is that there's one thing or one characteristic in particular that God wants us to have that would deny us or would not allow us to partake in any type of drugs. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith. It says, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Some of your translations out there may say temperance. And so God would have us to have self-control. Any type of drugs, any type of alcohol, any type of substance like that, that takes away our self-control. And thus, when I add drugs to myself, I'm taking away self-control, and self-control is the characteristic that God wants me to add to my faith. And so I would be doing the very opposite of what God has commanded. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We want everybody to be aware that we do have a website that is up and running but still under development at BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com. And we'll be glad to, you can download previous programs into your computer. And also you can print out the Bible Correspondence Course, the Big Picture of the Bible, and use it as you wish there as well. You can send it in to us for grading or study it on your own. It's totally up to you. We want to make these resources available to you. And as we add more, they will be added week after week. So you might want to save this location in one of your favorites buttons. And that's at Bible Alone, www.BibleAlone.com, and we'll be glad to send that or furnish that material to you. We also want you to be mindful next week. We are going to start the broadcast at 1:30, so we're going to start 30 minutes ahead, and it will go for an hour and a half for the near future, and so we want you to be aware of that so you can tune in 30 minutes earlier next week. We're going to go ahead and take a break and let you know about the correspondence course that we're offering, that you can download it offline if you want, or if you just want us to send it to you in the mail, that's perfectly okay with us. Either way, we were more than happy to help you in studying of God's Word. So go ahead and call the operator standing by. Here is the information. And while we're here, you can call in your question while we're at the break. You can go ahead and call 308-9564, and your question can be third in line. And so we'll be glad to take that as soon as we get back. But here's the information. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
All right, we're back live now, and you are listening live to a live broadcast, and you can call in your Bible question right now. This is a live broadcast. 308-9564 is the number, and you can call in your question, and we'll look to the Bible for the answer. We have a very frequent listener each week. Ben is his name, and he calls in some wonderful questions. And Ben, you've done it again. Isaiah chapter 53 is where his question is focused. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And he asked, would you please explain this verse? And so, wow, this is a great passage. Let me start with verse 4. It's dealing with the prophet, the Messiah, the one that should come. And he says in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Great question, great passage, Ben. Thank you for bringing that out to us. And the verse is dealing with a couple of things. And Ben, I agree with you. That phrase in the middle of verse 5 where it says the chastisement for our peace was upon him, I didn't really understand that until one day that I saw one of my children after they had been chastised for something and they had recovered. They felt so clean and free, and they were so excited, and they were just kind of almost giddy because the burden of their guilt was hurting them before, and then we talked it over, they received the punishment, and then they were free and their slate was clean, and they were so excited about that. They had such a peace about them after it was all over. And so then I understood what this means. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, was put upon Jesus. So I can have that clean, refreshed, slate clean feeling. Jesus had to receive the punishment. Now the question is, do you have that clean slate feeling? I hope all that are listening to us do this day. However, if we sin, if we continue to sin, if we play with sin, if we court after sin, if we do not repent of sin, then we can't have that fresh feeling unless our conscience have been seared. But the only way is for us to be able to cast all our burdens, our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities upon him, for he cares for us. And so if we can do that, and if we will do that, then we can have that refreshed, cleansed feeling of peace, and only then. Now, the way that's done is one must not just believe in Jesus Christ. The devil believes in him. Not just confess that he is the Christ. The demons confessed their faith in Jesus. They said that we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. That's a confession. And not just repentance, because repentance will not get us to heaven as well. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it just by itself will not get us to heaven. There were some calling him Lord, Lord. And verse 22, they were doing many wonders, and they were doing mighty goods and casting out demons. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so they were not doing the will of the Father. And so, again, it's more than belief, more than repentance, more than confession. One, in order to be totally refreshed, cleansed, must die with Christ. And that's done according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, when we are baptized into his death. Romans 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been buried with him in baptism, we've been buried into his death. We've got to take that last step. And unfortunately, the religious world that is all about us today leaves that step out. And so if we do not take that step, because God says it, for the remission of our sins, then we're still in them. Even Paul was told, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so that's the only way that we, or the death of Jesus Christ, can make a difference in our lives, and that is if we die with him. The number here is 308-9564. You can call in your question right now. 308-9564 is the number. This is a live broadcast, and we'll be glad to take your question either live over the air, or it can be written down and brought into us as these are. Again, that number is 308-9564.
A caller called in earlier, and we talked briefly about this idea of Rastafarians. Pearl made this call, and I wanted to at least share this information with you, Pearl. While we were at break, I had the opportunity to look online real quick, and I noticed that Wikipedia had a lot of information on what Rastafarians believe, their doctrine, their key scriptures, festivals, and things of that nature. I won't read that on the air because, again, the title of our broadcast is Let the Bible Speak, and we just want to answer we just want to speak where God speaks. We just want to give what God says on the matter. But I do encourage you to perhaps go online and you can do some research on this particular religion. And there seem to be a lot of information out there, so hopefully that'll be helpful to you. We've been talking today in general about this idea of being doers of the Word. And we want to make sure that we're always doing the Word and not just hearing it only. Ricky just talked about what's necessary in order for a person to be saved. But again, it's not just what's necessary for a person to be saved. It's what a person must do in order to be saved. And so if you've been tuning in week after week and you've been hearing this and you're ignoring it, then you're just a hearer of the Word and not a doer. Don't just sit and listen. As you know better, you must do better. I believe we have a live caller.
Yes, I think we have Katie that's on the line, and she has a question about where Adam was when Eve was being tempted. So, Katie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How can we help you?
Well, I work at a store, and so many guys come in, and they basically say, well, if it wasn't for Eve, we would still be in the garden. So I asked them, and no one can answer this question, so I'm asking you, where was Adam when Satan was working on Eve?
Okay, well, we'll just go directly to the Bible and find that answer and see what God has to say. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the sin taking place and how that the devil was tempting Eve. And notice how she concluded after he reasoned with her. In Genesis 3 and verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So where was he at?
He was with her.
He was with her, right there standing next to her, and thus he was punished as well. He should have safeguarded her. He should have protected her. He should have warned her. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But he didn't do that. It doesn't say he uttered a thing, and thus he was just as guilty as she. And then they started the blame game after they started talking to God. She blamed the serpent, and he blamed her, and then Adam blamed God, and so the woman that you gave me, and so he was blaming God. So the blame game still continues today, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And so it doesn't make it right, and we will answer for our sin. The only way that we can be healed from that sin is that what I said earlier, and that is we've got to get into Christ if we are to have a hope. A lot of terrible things have happened because of sin. Starting that day, even till today, all sin and comes short of the glory of God. So, yeah, Adam and Eve sin, and we don't have access to the tree of life because of it. But the truth is, The reason we're going to, if we find ourselves in hell one day, it will be because our sin, not because of theirs. We sure do appreciate you calling, Katie, and tuning in and even asking your question. We thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. You have a good day. We do want everyone to know that you can go live just like this caller, or you can call in your question and have it written down and brought into us. The choice is yours. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we'll be glad to take your question either live over the air, or it can be written down and brought into us. We want you to know that next week we're going to start the radio broadcast at 1:30. So we've got a whole hour and a half to be able to study together in God's Word. So make certain that you set your clock or your alarm or however you remind yourself about this, that we'll be starting 30 minutes early next week at 1:30, and the program will go to 3 o'clock. And so we're more than glad to share all this with you, including the Bible Correspondence Course. That is free of charge that we offer. Matter of fact, let us tell you all the details about that right now. Go ahead and call in your question if you want to while we are at break. If you have a Bible question that you've often wondered about, now's your chance. The lines are available, and we're ready to look to the Bible for the answer. That number is 308-9564. Go ahead and call right now, and we'll be glad to answer that question as soon as we get back. We'll be right back now.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Again, we do have a website that you can go to, www.BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com, and you can download some of the material that we have. I believe we have a caller live.
Yes, I think Ben is on the line. Ben, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, how can we help you, Ben?
I want to thank you today for giving me the answer about what the scriptures of Jesus mean to me.
Okay. Well, we are more than happy to help, and we sure appreciate you listening each week.
God bless you guys.
Well, thank you, Ben, and thank you for listening each week.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. And
hello?
Yes. You have a question?
Okay. And also said, when after you hear God's word, he said Romans 10 and 17. So it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
That's right.
God bless you.
Well, thank you. All right. Ben is a frequent listener, and we're so thankful that he listens each week and studies right along with us. He's a diligent student of the Word, and that's what we need to be. That's the only way that we can make it to heaven. Jesus is the life, the way, the truth. We've got to follow him, and then we'll be pleasing to him. And so we are, this is a live caller as well. I think we have Carolyn standing by. Carolyn, are you there? Carolyn, are you
there?
Yes,
I am.
Yes, how can we help you?
Yes, I was called to ask the question that I've often heard, that you're not forgiven for self-murder, that God don't forgive you for self-murder, if you could murder to yourself.
Yes, and it's hard to even use the word suicide, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, and it's a tragedy whenever something that occurs, because we want to know that God is... going to be able to allow sometimes when people are in such distress that they would do something like that. There are many times aggravating circumstances that most of us do not understand. And because of that, we tend to think, oh, my, what a terrible tragedy has occurred. And it certainly is.
Yeah.
But whenever someone dies, it is a tragedy. And for someone to be able to take their own life is a double tragedy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so your question is, does God forgive suicide? Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
And caller, again, we appreciate you calling in. And a couple of questions you have to consider is, how do we gain forgiveness today? Well, God does require us to repent. And that is to say, I have to have a total change of heart. But now, if I commit a sin and I die, that means I didn't repent. I didn't repent of my past sins. Can I be saved without repentance? And we know the answer to that is not so. Jesus says in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, repent or you shall all likewise perish. You add to that James chapter 2. In James chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who says, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And so if I transgress God's law, God's going to hold me accountable. And so even the person who commits suicide, they are still guilty of murder. They're killing themselves. And they are a transgressor of God's law. And the only way to gain forgiveness of that sin is to be able to repent. The person who commits suicide takes away that opportunity.
And that's with an understanding that the person is completely sane and know what they're doing. And the Bible doesn't address mental illness as a rule, but we know that we will stand before a just God one day, and he knows the complete thoughts and intents of our heart, and he will judge us accordingly to that. And so if we just have to understand that he's able to look totally within. Before we know our thoughts altogether, he knows them. In Psalm 139, it talks about the omniscience or the all-knowing aspect of God. And that's one of the phrases that he uses there. He says in Psalm 139 in verse 2, it says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Before we actually even have the thought fully formed in our own mind, he knows it all together. And so it will take that kind of knowing, that kind of knowledge, to be able to judge righteously. And so each of us will stand before that kind of God that knows the thoughts and intents of the heart and know exactly what is in our heart. Does that help a little bit?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Carolyn. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, and thank you for listening. Yes. Again, the number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We're going to take another quick break just to give you some more information about this correspondence course. Carolyn, you may be interested in this, and those that may be affected by such a tragedy as that, you may like to encourage them to tune in and also to enroll in this correspondence course. You can do that by calling 553-5157. There's an operator standing by there. And while we are at break, if you want to go ahead and call in your question here to the station, you can be next in line. 308-9564 is the number, and we'll be glad to take your question. We'll go ahead and take this break right now, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, And you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Again, you've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. Our intent is only to say what we see within the pages of the Scripture. If you'd like to join us, you can right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. I believe we have a caller who wants to go live.
Yes, Mr. Brown, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, how can we help you?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, a young lady just called about and asked, is suicide forgiven?
Yes.
Read Matthew 12 and 31.
All righty. And while we're turning there, you want to comment on it?
No, I just want you to read it.
Okay. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men.
All right.
Okay. You want to comment on that?
No, that's the answer right there.
Well, yes, sins will be forgiven, but it is absolutely based upon repentance. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. As well as Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where they were told to repent and be baptized.
Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men.
It will be forgiven.
Yes.
Well, it's future tense. So that means that's something that will happen.
So
when Jesus points out Luke chapter 13, verse 3, he gives the qualifier.
Luke 13, 3 says, repent or you shall all likewise perish. And so Jesus lays down that condition necessary for the forgiveness to be given.
Do we know the definition of murder? Do we know what a murderer is?
Murder is to take a life.
No, murder is to hate your brother. You're a murderer.
Well, Jesus does
say
that.
You're a murderer.
Jesus does say that if to hate your brother is murder. He also says to look at a woman to lust after her is adultery. But adultery is also to go outside the boundaries of the marriage. And so Jesus is speaking. Jesus from time to time speaks in a spiritual sense.
Is a murderer.
Jesus from time to time speaks in a spiritual sense, and so we have to kind of make sure we understand the context when he's speaking. We do appreciate the passage.
1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer.
Yes, that is right.
That's absolutely true.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. We sure appreciate that, and those are very good verses that we need to consider, and those are things that we have to know that God does require of us. He requires repentance. He requires many of things for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, and what we can't do ever is we can't take one or two passages and make it get rid of the other passages. Remember, listeners, and this is for everybody, that the sum, S-U-M, of God's Word is true. Not some, S-O-M-E, of God's Word is true. We have to take it all as a whole to make sure we put it all in the proper context. But I do appreciate the caller calling in. Everything that he said is absolutely correct. Sins will be forgiven. That's absolutely correct. And if I hate my brother, I am a murderer. That's absolutely correct. But now I have to take that in conjunction with all the other things that God has said. And that's how we understand the will of God. Do appreciate you calling in. Today we've been talking about, again, this idea of being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. God wants us to do what he says and not just hear what he says. God has always placed a premium on obedience. The idea is I have to obey God's will. In just a moment, I'll read from 1 Samuel chapter 15 to take a look at that. But I do believe we have a caller who wants to go live.
Yes, I believe we have Pearl called back in and would like to make a comment as well about the verses we just mentioned. So, Pearl, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Okay, I'm talking about the commercial.
You need to turn your radio down because there's going to be a delay echo, and that will confuse you. And so turn your radio down, and then you won't be confused. So go ahead with your question. Go ahead.
I'd like to comment on the caller who asked, is suicide murder? She can read the book of divine of hell, the revelation of hell, and they talk about how a lady did commit suicide, and she went to hell.
No, no, let's go to the Bible for the answers instead of some other writings. And so do
okay.
you have a...
Also, you can look at through this way. God's divine purpose is for everyone to fulfill what he wants. When you commit suicide, you cut short of what God wants you to do.
Okay, all right. And your question is?
I just want to comment on that because lately we wanted to know if suicide is murder. So I was telling you that one person can look at that from that standpoint.
All right. Well, that's a good comment. And we want to make certain that we're not trying to go in another direction as well, because there's a lot of false teaching out there concerning the idea of God has everything under his control. And so we've got to make certain that we understand God has given us a free will to choose whether we go to heaven or not. Thus, all the instructions and the whole purpose of the Bible is to give us that choice of going to heaven, doing his will or not. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he brings out that though you were troubled, that we can have a hope of heaven, but if we're not doing the will of the Father, then there is little of hope for that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8, he brings out very clearly the danger of waiting along that line. He says, in flaming fire, there will be vengeance on those that do not obey God and on those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And so that day will come, and there will be a reckoning. Everyone will receive the things done in his body, whether it's good or evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 brings out. And so we must be ready to meet the Lord. How? Well, this verse brings out that we must know God, and we must obey the gospel. And so those are a couple of things that are absolutely necessary as well. And that is our choice. It is not God just pulling everybody's strings like we're a bunch of puppets. And so it is our choice. If we want to choose to end our life early, well, we can do foolish things along that line. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11 says, life and chance happen to everyone. And so if I choose to go out and play in the middle of the freeway, guess what's going to happen to me? I may not have been choosing to be run over by a truck, but, you know, if I do that long, I guarantee you that my life is going to end. And so we've got to make certain that we are doing the will of the Father and trying to please him. Thank you so much, Pearl, for listening, and thank you so much for tuning in each week. We sure do appreciate it.
And just one additional note. We talked about 1 John chapter 3 earlier. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, 1 John 3, verse 15. Jesus says here's a person that hates his brother. He is a murderer. That still doesn't tell me what a murderer is. It just tells me if I'm in I have that action or that attitude of hate towards my brother, I'm guilty of being a murderer. The word murderer actually comes from a Greek word which means manslayer. It's just take a life is the idea. So, again, we appreciate you calling in. A lot of stuff to think about, but hopefully those of our listeners, you're not contemplating taking your life, but rather you're trying to have life, that is life eternal, which God gives. So let us seek him and how we might live for eternity. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564. One of the ways we can have that eternal life is by obeying God. God has always placed a premium on obedience. We go back to the Old Testament in the book of Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, notice the premium that God places on obedience. In verse 22, so Samuel says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? God is more concerned about obedience than he is about even burnt offerings or sacrifices. And during this time period, that's how they would render worship to God. They would offer up burnt sacrifices. And so God is more concerned about obeying his voice than he is about even sacrifices. It says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or to listen than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, and that's what Saul had done, He says God has rejected you from being king. God rejected Saul from being king because he did not obey God. God has placed a premium on doing exactly what he says. To join us now, you can. 308-9564.
We want everyone to be aware that next week we're going to be starting 30 minutes early. The program actually will begin at 1:30. We'll go for an hour and a half next week, and so we want you to tune in a little bit early next week that we might be able to get all of the questions in. For the last few weeks, we've had questions pile up, and we've had to carry them over from one week to the next. And so this will afford you an opportunity to get in, not that you should wait till the last moment, but that we might be able to get everybody's questions in. And so we do want you to know that this is a free broadcast, and everything that we send in the mail is absolutely free. We do not ask for your contribution in any way, not your tithes, not your offerings. Matter of fact, this program is put on by Christians who love God, and that is they pay for all the expenses. And they are encouraged by your response that you have shown such an interest in studying God's Word. And so that's how this program is maintained. And we are more than and thrilled to be able to provide this for you. And so this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question right now. And the number is 308-9564. Okay, I believe we have Louise standing by to ask her question. And her question is about the Garden of Eden. Is that correct, Louise?
Yes.
Yes. How can we help you?
I would like to know what countries is the Garden of Eden.
Well, and that I wish I could answer that question too. There are geographical hints to where it was located, with some of the rivers that are mentioned there. And that is in the area what we now call Iraq, but down toward the southern part of Iraq and Kuwait. But the world has totally changed since the beginning. The flood was one thing that reshaped the earth and made these tremendous canyons around the globe. And then also there seems to be some implication that when the years of a man named Peleg, and that was about four or five generations after the flood, that's when the continent seemed to shift, because he was named that because it was during his days that the land divided, and that's what his name means. So the world as we know it now is totally different than it was at the creation. And so as far as putting a landmark on where the Garden of Eden is at, well, that is long since gone as far as we are aware of. And there's nothing to suggest of an exact location at all. I don't know if that's the answer you were looking for, but there's really nothing in the Bible about where it is now.
Louise? I was told that some of the rivers, Euphrates rivers.
Yes, uh-huh.
That went to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, and that was a river that was called that back then, and that was in an area what we call Iraq now.
Iraq now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome, and we sure do appreciate you calling in and calling in your question and listening each week. Again, Louise, thank you so much. The number here is 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564.
And Louise, let me just add, in Genesis chapter 2, you mentioned what you were told, and I always encourage folks to go see it for yourself. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says, "Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads." And then it lists the four riverheads in verse 11, and verse 12, and verse 13. And one of those rivers were the rivers Euphrates, verse 14 as well, talks about those four rivers. But again, note that it was only one river that came out of Eden. And then as it traveled, it went down, verse 10 says, four riverheads. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Okay. We sure do appreciate you calling and joining us, Louise. We have another live caller today that's wanting to ask us a question about the Sabbath. And I believe his name is David. David, are you there?
I am.
Yes, how can we help you?
I was just curious. The Bible teaches about the seventh-day Sabbath, and you know you have Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I'm trying to understand how did the Sabbath or the worship day get to Sunday?
Okay. All right. Well, that is a real good question. There's nothing in the Bible about it ever changing. The word Sabbath was a rest that God set up in the days of Moses, and that was to be celebrated on the seventh day. And as far as it changing to another day, there's not a verse of Scripture at all to saying that it was changed. Where did it begin? Well, you have to go back to the early days of the Catholic Church and one of the popes deciding that he was going to change it just to remove all confusion. And, of course, that didn't remove all confusion. That just made things worse. And so no man has the right to change what God's Word says, whether it's the Sabbath day or whether it is actually celebrating holidays that God has not told us to celebrate. The only day that the New Testament brings out that we're supposed to be respecting today or have activity restricted to is the first day of the week. Now, according to our calendar, we call that Sunday, but we could call it Ricky Day, Nick Day, or any day. But the thing is, the first day of the week that God singles out. The two passages that point that out are Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, where the early church gathered together to break bread, or the Lord's Supper, on the first day of the week. And then also, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, brings out that they were, when they gathered together, that was the day that they were to give of their means, or to lay by in store, or take up the contribution, or contribute to the Lord. And so both of those were restricted to the first day of the week. But as far as the Sabbath rest, that was part of the Old Testament that was nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, even make that point, that we're no longer to judge based upon the Sabbath. Does that help?
It does, but it doesn't clarify, and I don't have my King James in front of me, some passages that I've read during the crucifixion and Mary going to the tomb, where it talks about where it dawns towards the new Sabbath, the first day of the week, obviously the Sunday when Christ rose. And that's why I ask that, because that's the specific understanding that I've been, you know, taught through seminary and that I've learned in studying the Bible. And every time I ask this question, I kind of get the answer that you gave me.
Well, the if we're going to stick with the Bible just brings out Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1 and 2 were the activities that the early church did on the first day of the week. And the word Sabbath is not attached to either one of those activities at all. Yes, Jesus did arise from the dead on the first day of the week, and that's no doubt symbolic of why we gather together to break bread or partake of the Lord's Supper. And so it's a weekly occasion. I've got a question I often want to ask some of the people that come out of seminary is why do they only partake of the Lord's Supper once a month or once a quarter or once a year,
right,
and yet they will partake of the contribution, you know, very often, and yet the same terminology is used for both of them. You know, they will pass the plate every week or several times a week, but they only partake of the Lord's Supper once a month. Isn't that a big question? Yeah,
well,
yeah, that is.
You're right on that.
I know it. I'm telling you. And so I wonder why. You know, that is it all because of the bottom line? Well, let's just understand. There was no bottom line in Jesus' day. It was about going to heaven, and the only way we can do that is to follow His word. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, the number here is 308-9564. I believe we have another live caller, and I don't know if I'm saying your name right, but is it Makita? And you have a question about drinking. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Makita, and I wanted to ask the question. I know it's a sin to be drunk, to have drunkenness, but is it a sin to drink a drink? Because, you know, even at the wedding, Jesus made wine. So if a person's not drinking, if a person's having a drink but not drinking to get drunk, is it still a sin because they took up the drink?
On one occasion, Paul would tell Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. Now, that wine was still wine. Now, it could have been grape juice, because oftentimes when we read the word wine within the Bible, it actually has two connotations. Sometimes it could mean a fermented wine, and sometimes it actually meant grape juice. You know, we're challenged today because when we read, sometimes we just don't know exactly what's being meant when the word wine is used. But concerning drinking in general, which you did identify, that drunkenness is wrong. There is a passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, where Peter says, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of Gentiles. And the word Gentiles, as he uses it here, is making reference to pagans, people who don't worship God. He says, when we walked in lewdness, when we walk in lust, when we walked in drunkenness. So you identify drunkenness as being wrong. But he also brings out revelries and drinking parties or drinking bouts or banqueting and abominable idolatries. He says, in regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So here Peter's talking to Christians who had changed their lives. And in changing their life, they walked away from various forms of drinking, various forms of things that drinking leads to. He points out revelries, banqueting, and these drinking parties. He also talks about drunkenness. This word revelries actually means carousing. It's the idea of riotous. It could be orgy. It could be those kinds of things that oftentimes is led to as a result of drinking. Now let's go back to your question about one drink. If I take one drink, what can that lead to? And that's where the challenge, that's where we get into the challenge. You're asking the question, if I take one drink, have I sinned? And I think an individual has to make the, have to answer that question for themselves, looking at their motives. What I always ask people, if I take one drink, where am I going to buy that one drink from? One. Two, who am I going to affect by taking that one drink? You know, I can take one drink. I might take one drink. It might not affect me. But now my little child who watches me take that one drink. Now, am I now being the kind of parent that I need to be, according to Ephesians chapter 6, where it tells the fathers to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Also, you add to that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, where the Bible tells us to abstain from every form of evil. Some translation says even the appearance of evil. So where am I going to go and get that drink? Am I going to go down to the liquor store? And so what appearance am I giving as a child of God when I go down to the liquor store just to get that one drink? Am I going to go to the bar to get that one drink? So where am I going to get it from? At the corner store? Am I going to buy it from the young lady who's behind the counter that I'm trying to encourage to follow the Lord? And does she know that I'm only going to go home and have that one drink that night? What will she conclude about me? And so there's much more to it. You know, oftentimes we try to isolate it to one drink, but there's a lot of other pieces to it when we consider our lives as godly people. That's who we're trying to be. Is that helpful to you?
Yes, but the only thing is I'm trying to get down is the sin of it. The one drink, you know, the one drink, let's at a wedding, is a sin, you know, celebrating a bride and a groom. At a wedding, you know, not, I mean, I know, I understand the form of where you're getting it from, but my thing is the sin and the drink itself, you know, that's my question.
And is it in the sin,
I understand the situations and how you may go about getting it. Now, those things are sin because you're actually yearning for it. You know, you're letting temptation give in.
Well,
but
if we're going to let the Bible speak, we just have to be content with what God says. And that is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 that was just read. And there is the answer. And that covers all levels of sin as far as associated with drinking intoxicating drinks and the atmosphere that surrounds such a activity as that. And so those are the areas. And so there's 1,000 different situations and scenarios that that can be thrown, but there's what God's Word has to say with it. And so it may not include some of those illustrations you bring out there, but most assuredly, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 is where you'll find your answer. We sure do appreciate you calling, Makita, and thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week 30 minutes early because we'll be glad to we'll have more time to be able to answer some of these questions. The program is expanding to an hour and a half next week, so tune in at 1:30, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak. We also want you to visit our website at BibleAlone.com, and you can download our correspondence course and also previous programs. Again, that's www.BibleAlone.com. Again, we want to say thank you for listening today. Thank you for tuning in. We are desiring to let the Bible speak on all the questions on your heart. Tune in again next week. This week, or next week at 1:30, as we let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.
Mercury Morris, Tony Casillas, all athletes who tackled their hair loss permanently with medical hair restoration. It's 2008, guys. You don't have to live with hair loss anymore. The technologies, the procedure, the costs, it's all changed. You can now regrow your hair and get awesome yet undetectable results for less with MHR. It's no longer a question of if it will work. It's now simply a question of when. When are you going to decide that you want to look like you did at least 10 years ago? One phone call.